This morning, I want to continue to talk about prayer. You know, I'm on this journey. I tell you, prayer fuel your relationship with Jesus. It's just like conversation fuel your relationship with your friend. For those of us who are married or are living with your children, you know, with my kids, conversation will fuel, will keep alive my relationship with my kids at home. If I just see them and we never have a heart-to-heart, okay, conversation, then we feel distant. Have you ever felt like that? You live in a house with somebody and you feel like you're so distant from each other? Yeah, it's because, especially if you don't take time to connect heart-to-heart. So it's very important for us as believers to prioritize prayer. So I have, in the past, I've talked about the fundamentals of prayer, because sometimes we pray, and we see no results, but it's because we're breaking all the rules. You know, the kingdom of God is made of rules, principles. As a matter of fact, a lot of the verses, the promises of God, comes with not rules, but it's more like principles. You know, principles. You know, I use the example, our speed limit. You know, we have the speed limit for a certain reason. You know, when you go down around a curve, it says 25. You don't want to be going, you don't want to say, I'm going to test my faith. I'm going to go around this curve 90 miles an hour in the name of Jesus. You don't say that. You don't try that. You know, and we all have good common sense. You don't do that, because you will get hurt, believe me, and you might die before your time. Okay? You won't go to hell because you believe you could jump off the roof and the angel's gonna catch you. Don't try that. Okay? Don't do that stuff. So principles, there are principles. Last week I invited Sean to teach, and he talked about the power of prayer. And there's one thing he said, and maybe some of you don't remember it, but I remember it, and I went and listened to it. And I know maybe there's somebody here or a couple people that were like, not sure about that. But I've said what he said here. You know, for example, anxiety. We can put this on the line, on the screen. The hindrance of our prayer. The first one is sin. You know, sin. The second one is unforgiveness. You know, and the other one is worry. You know, in worry you see being anxious, anxiety. This week I did a study on being anxious. It says, do not be afraid. Don't fear. You know, and there's a lot of great debate how many times the word anxious or worry mentioned in the Bible. You know, I think there's like 15 times in the Old Testament and 20 times in the New Testament. But in whole, the term do not worry, do not be anxious, for nothing, it appears in the Bible 365 times. So there is one for each day. So every day, the Lord is telling us, don't fear. Jesus, in his own words, he said, Don't worry. Help me about a thing. Because every little thing gonna be all. You didn't know that was a worship song. Bob Marley. You didn't know that. You know, put it on this afternoon, right? And you're going home. Find that song. You know, don't worry. 360 times, 65 times. You can find it in the word where God is telling us, please. And Jesus in his own words says, in this world, I will have trouble. But I give you what? He says, I give you peace. So we will have trouble. I told you stories in my own life where I used to deal with a chronic back pain. I'm not going to repeat the story again. If you missed it, go and listen to it. But I told you I was prayed for, I was healed a couple times, But then because I was feeding my body things that would inflame my back, I was still in pain. So I believe in prayer, but I was not feeding my body the proper food. You know, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you destroy it, God will destroy you. And a lot of people, they think, oh, God, my spirit, yeah. What about honoring God in your body? Don't go and freak out over this, but do you know the way we eat in America? If you'd be wary, if you take attention, paid close attention to the way you eat, there's a lot of things we would eat. Now, I'm not saying don't go out and have a donut, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Okay, get me. I'm not saying you don't eat a donut, okay? Please. Okay? That's not what I am saying. But as for me, I knew I had to get away from donuts for a while because donuts was inflaming my body. Because I love donuts so much. See, you're not alone. We're in this thing together. So Sean, he mentioned something about a lot of us, we're taking anxiety pills. People are taking, you know, I talked to Felix, he works in the hospital, and one of the things he said, you know, a lot of people call for heart attack or whatever. A lot of their symptom is caused by being anxious, anxiety. You wake up in the middle of the night, your heart's beating because there's something you worry about. So you're worrying about life. You're worrying about your children. You're worrying about the future for your children. You know, you're worrying about a lot of things. And I tell you, if not all of us, most of us here, we've got stuff we are worrying about. And those things keep us up at night. And then, of course, for me, as your pastor and your friend, I'm always open. I will always pray for you. I pray for you. I will always come to you and pray for you. But let's be real. There are things, some things, if you do take care of them, I won't have to pray for you. Can I have a better witness? It's principle. It's not just, you could be like, that's logic. That makes sense. There are certain things, if I'm applying in the Bible, there are certain principles in the Word of God, if I'm applying it in my life, I never have to pray for them. For example, Matthew chapter 6, it says, seek ye first the kingdom. You never have to pray for work. Now, do we believe that? Or I tell you, I believe it, and I've seen it apply in my own life. I've seen God blessings and favor. You understand favor? It's like God make the way for you. He gives you grace and favor. Why? Because you prioritize seeking God. You know, so when Sean said last week, you know, if you must take an anxiety pill, well, you do. And he said that. If you must take an anxiety pill, well, you go ahead and do it. But I tell you, if you would apply the Word of God and believe the Word of God and do your best to not be anxious about life, you won't have to take a pill. And I'm not just saying that. This is my personal testimony. 5 weeks ago, I've not been able to sleep. I'm waking up during the night, and I feel like I feel anxiety. Of course, with a lot of things happening, even like one of our key pastors yesterday morning, woke up and find 20 gangs with KR. What do you call those big long guns? KR-14, whatever. You know, guns in front of his house. So yesterday, all day, I've been texting with him, you know, checking to see how he's doing. This morning, I called him on my way here. He said, well, they're going to try to get out. Can you imagine? You woke up, and then here's 20 gangs, and they don't allow you to leave. You can't leave your house. If you leave, they expect you to return. But if you leave, you can't take your car, and you got to pay to get out. I mean, I had two pastors that had to fled their house with just their clothes left their church. I mean, the church is this, everybody's scattered everywhere. That's just a little thing that tell you that what I'm dealing with. So of course I can't sleep at night. You know, I'm having dreams, bad dreams, you know, because my mind is... So I went to the doctors and she's like, well, your anxiety is very high. And yeah, so she asking me, you know, what do, whatever, whatever, okay. So I came home, since last month, I changed my habit. So I don't listen. I used to listen to the news before I go to bed. Bad pastor. Can't do that. Sometimes Kendra will try to tell me, I'm like, well, I like the background noise, but then it's like my mind doesn't shut down. Guys, since then I'm sleeping better because I changed my behavior. And I haven't taken an anxiety pill. I choose not to worry. Can I change? No, I can't change the situation. So on the things that I have no authority over, I give it to the Lord and I live by faith. So the only thing I can do is control self. The only thing I can do is control my mind. Control what comes in. I control what comes in here. I control what comes in through these ears. And then I'm experiencing peace. So the hindrances to our prayers. You know, what does the word hindered mean according to the Bible? It pretty much means the same thing like if in everyday language, all right? Being hindered is a thing that provides resistance, delay, or something that obstruct someone to, or that blocks something to do something. For example, this is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, in the same way, you husband must give honor to your wives. I think I have it on the screen. Husband, likewise, dwell with your wife with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be, what? Hindered. So now this is for people who are married. You know, because now this is for me too, because sometimes I really want to be rude to my wife. Okay, if you didn't know that, let me tell you this. I confess that. But who doesn't? But then this verse reminds me, you know what, dude, you can't do that. Because if I'm being rude to my wife, I have no business going to God. Now, vice versa. It's the same thing. My wife can't be so rude to me and try to be such a this innocent girl here in church. Doesn't work like that. And then you apply that in every relationship. It's not just husband and wife. I can't be rude to you. I can't be rude to my co-workers. Man, I wish Ryan would give this testimony. You don't want to give that testimony? All right. But Ryan, tell me a testimony this week. It's amazing. I'll let him deal with it. But it's just every situation you find yourself, you know, God calls you to be manager of life relationship. If you can't manage relationship with others, think twice about your relationship with God. Because you must be able to manage relationship with others so God's grace can flow through you in everything you do. Should be able to manage relationship. Like manager. Now I have a name for you, a new assignment. You are a manager of life relationship. Mm-hmm. You are a manager of life relationship. You know what that means? That means sometimes you must have the hard talk, the difficult talk with siblings, with family, husband, children. Remember what I say here all the time. Every healthy family talks. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. This is what it says. You don't have to go there. You can just read it with on the screen. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with what? Perseverance, the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You know, what is sin? According to the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary of God's law. So, sin is a hindrance of your prayer. So if you're living in sin, and I know, believe me, I've been in church all my life, I used to think, sin is adultery, fornication, stealing, murder. There was a time those were my sin. Oh, I don't murder anybody. Well, yeah, you haven't physically murdered somebody, but do you know the Bible says if you harbor hate in your heart, envy, oh my goodness, you know, someone could ask, what is sin? You see, there's a difference between committing a sin and continuing in sin. Now, let me break it to you again something. Let me remind you, like Peter said in 2 Peter. I will never stop to remind you this, even if you know it already. As believers, we will always sin. But we won't be making a practice of sinning. You know, when I sin, I can't sleep. I gotta go to the cross. Jesus, man, Lord. Why did I have to answer this person like this? Lord, help me out. Why? Because the seed of the Holy Spirit. That's what will make the difference between you and everybody else. When you sin, you can't sleep. When you talk to somebody the way you shouldn't do. When you're looking at things online you shouldn't do. The seed of the Holy Spirit, His presence in you, will make you uncomfortable. Even as parents, when I talk to my kids the way I shouldn't, or I was rushed, I provoke them, I turn around and the Holy Spirit is like, man, come on, Ricardo, you know better. Then I feel the, not shame, convicted. I misbehave. I feel convicted that I misbehave. Then what do? You know, son, I am sorry. I should not have talked to you like that. Kendra said it, and I repeat it here. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon, really, really, really soon. We live in the last of the last days. So there is no time to be playing churches. He's coming back for a pure bride, a holy church. That's who he's coming back for. So a person who deliberately continued to sin, that person, listen, hasn't met the Lord. But when you sin accidentally, sin must be an accident in our lives. I can't accidentally do adultery. I can't accidentally steal. Now, I could be having a bad day. Somebody cut me off. We had a really good discussion in our group the other day. You know, somebody flip you up and then you kind of don't want to flip them up physically, but you flip them up in your heart. Yeah. Right. Thank God he sees the heart. But once again, when you do that, you're like, yeah, Lord, just, I'm still human. I need your grace. I'm still human. I need your grace. Listen to what it says in Psalm 66, verse 16 to 19. It says, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cry out to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So, in other words, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayers. Iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is moral injustice, wickedness. Iniquity is part of the family of sin. You know, sometimes we inherit. I mean, there are certain behavior I saw in my dad. I pray, I say in the name of Jesus, it stopped with me. So I don't inherit my dad's bad habit. I have a sister, she is the same age. We are the same age. So that means when my mom was pregnant, my dad had somebody else pregnant. That's crazy stuff. I know it's crazy. So he had a couple wives. And many other brothers and sisters I haven't met. I know of, I've heard of them. You know, so whatever flows through your family as a curse, you can say in the name of Jesus, it stops with me. It stops with me. So my family, everybody's bitter. In my family, they all hate each other. My cousins, man, they're always fighting each other. And I'm like, man, oh man, this cousin doesn't talk to this cousin. I'm like, why? I said, you know, as for me, it's going to stop with me. I'm going to be friends with all of you. I'm still not able to bring all of them together, but guess what? I'm the one in the family that can go to all of them. I can call all of them. Why? Because I said, I made a declaration as a follower of Christ, this is the way I live. Because I want my prayers to be answered. I want the Lord to listen to my prayers. Sinful attitude, immorality is iniquity. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from where? From it. Guard your heart. And I tell you, especially now, guard your heart with what's happening with our country. We're getting ready for election, crazy stuff. Guard your heart because that will protect you for the future. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because from your heart, your mouth will speak. So I declare over us wisdom. Sometimes it's best to be quiet and pray. You know, the good thing is this fight against good and evil, you can stand on the fact that someday good will win. You know, when you watch a movie, I mean, I used to despise watching Jean-Claude Van Damme. You guys remember Jean-Claude Van Damme? I hope he's not listening to this, but my favorite actor right now is Jason Statham, because he doesn't mess around. This guy, he find a bad guy, he's like, poop, dead. You know, Jean-Claude Van Damme, he is the kind that the bad guy would beat him up. I mean, I'm watching this movie, I'm like, man, I'm mad at the actor, you know? I mean, why are you getting so beat up? And then, on his last breath, he's laying down on his last breath, he's like, yeah, beam. And then, you know, he'll kill the bad guy. And then, of course, I'm happy because then the actor wins. But I'm like, man, come on, man, you're the actor, don't mess around. You know, just like get in there and do, pew, pew, we're done. You know, we live in a life right now, sometimes it feels like injustice, immorality, you know, you feel like, you know, those are the things that are being promoted. You know, people are redefining marriage between a man and a woman. People are discarding that. They're trying to throw whatever. But you know, God's not calling us to be fighting people. Give it time. The truth will come. Evil will never win. I read this story last night. I was on the internet preparing something, and I went online and read the story. I shared it with my kids. It's the story between a donkey and a tiger. Maybe you know it already. And then the donkey is arguing with the tiger, saying, you know, the grass is blue. The grass is blue. You know, and then the tiger having this heated conversation with the donkey. And finally, he decided, you know what, we're going to go to the jungle's king, to the lion, so the lion can set this thing up. And then, of course, the donkey, before he get too close to the lion, yelled, you know, like, Mr. King, you know, I'm having this conversation with tiger, you know, don't you think the grass, isn't it the grass blue? And then the king says, yeah, the grass is blue. And then the donkey's like, yeah, you see, tiger, I told you so. Of course. And then the tiger came and is like, the king's like, oh, then the donkey asked the king to penalize the tiger. So the king says, all right, well, you tiger, you're going to spend 5 years in prison. And then poor tiger is like, man, king, what? The king, you know the grass is green. Why are you penalizing me? And the king says, well, I'm not penalizing you for the fact whether the grass is blue or green. You know the grass is green. I'm penalizing you for wasting my time and for the fact that you got into this heated conversation with this donkey and wasting my time. So therefore, it's a story, a kid story, I guess. Be wise. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And we don't live by our desire, we live by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will let you know when it's worth it, whether it's worth it or not. You know, I have learned it. You never give your advice unless it's asked for. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because it's the source of life. Watch it. Keep a close eye on your heart. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. You know? You hear people talk so dirty. It's like but out of the mouth, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So whatever is in your heart, you will speak it. So when you allow the light of the Holy Spirit to live in your heart, your mouth will reflect it. I tell you, if Jesus is on the throne of your heart, your mouth, your mouth will speak it. There's a certain joke online, you never share it. You never share it. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path of your feet. I'm still in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 26 now, it says, verse 27, do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. So sin will hinder your prayer. And God wants to talk to you. He wants to answer your prayers. But sometimes we have a hindrance in our lives. And sin is one of them. And I want us as a congregation to live free from sin. Because when your conscience is clear, you get to come before the Lord unashamed. Yeah, your conscience is clear. That doesn't mean you're perfect. None of us are perfect. We'll never attain perfection. But we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Colossians chapter 3. Oh man, I like this. Once again, it says, not carnality, but Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Setting your mind on things above. I like this. It says you set your mind. Have you ever set your mind on something? Yeah? Yeah, if you like me, you set your mind. You start thinking about it. You start thinking about, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then that thought become object of your mind. You sleep it. Sometimes we even have dreams. Right? We've got dreams. Because it becomes the subject of your mind. Verse 3. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. Meaning, in this word here, members, it's not just making a reference of our physical members. It's also talking about our souls. Our soul. Put to death. Remember, you died in Christ. We sing earlier, right? You call my name, I ran out of that grave. I was buried beneath my sins. But Jesus said, hey, Ricardo, come on. And then, bim, I came out. So I came out a new man. Right? This is conversion. This is the new birth. It says, therefore, put to death those members. For example, it talks about fornication, uncleanness. Uncleanness has to do with anything that is morally wrong. Passion, evil desires. I'm going to mention that again. Even on things Christians use to entertain themselves. Some of the things we watch on TV, make sure it brings glory to God. Anything it is in you watching on TV, the Lord's always by yourself. I pray in the name of Jesus that you become so allergic to sin. Oh, amen? Do you receive that? You become allergic to sin. You become allergic, you know? May you get a revelation that sin is worse than COVID. I pray, let me repeat it again. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would get your eyes, your spiritual eyes would open so you can understand that sin is worse than COVID. Because I know we're afraid of COVID. And COVID was terrible. COVID came with a spirit. It came, it destroyed a lot of things. But COVID can't compare to sin. Sin separated us from the glory of God. Evil desires, covetousness. You know what a covetousness is? It's strong feeling for things. Strong feelings to possess stuff. That is actually not something you just find in America, because poor countries, third world countries, people still deal with the same thing. Do you know people kill people for their stuff? When I was growing up, it wasn't as bad, especially now. People kill people for their stuff. After the earthquake, we would go to a community where many houses were destroyed. And then we had, we call them houses, but they were sheds. But can you imagine your house is destroyed and someone bring you a shed, an eight by eight shed. That's what we have in our backyard. But you go to a third world country, devastation, death everywhere, and you bring a shed to that person. That person is excited. Man, they've got a house. Why? Because now they can sleep inside. Because their house is destroyed. It's raining. Everybody's under a tarp. There's no sleeping. But then you go to a community where there is 70 homes destroyed, but you only have 10 shed. So, okay, you somehow choose 10 people. And those people there, they've got 10 shed, 10 house, but everybody else in the camp hates them. Because they receive a shed and they didn't. That's evil. That's covetousness. I pray in the name of Jesus right now, even as I speak this, that God would give you a spirit of satisfaction. That we would be free from the spirit of covetousness. You would be free from the spirit of covetousness. You'd get satisfied, because this is what happened. The spirit of covetousness make people become slaves. Covetousness. That's a very strong one. Or what you can't afford. You know, what you can't buy, what you can't afford. That's idolatry. That is idolatry. If you can't afford it, wait. Work harder. Save your money. You know, I'm telling my kids. I tell them, just you wait. Just, this is how we do it. Can't afford it? Just don't buy it. You're like, but I need a car. Well, I tell you, I can help you find a car for $1,000. But it's not shiny. Guess what? Save that money. Before you know it, you'll be able to show up at the dealer with $40,000, buy it cash. What a philosophy. That's against the world, what I'm telling you right now. That's how we need to teach our children. Because you become slave of the lender. Now, if you must go take a debt, go for it. This is my balance. If you must, well, you know, God will show you how to do it. What I'm saying here is there's no condemnation. I'm not talking about people who have a car payment for you to feel condemned. No way, there's no condemnation. You do what you must do, but I'm showing you the way you can live at peace. Is it fun? No, it's not fun. You know, Skendry and I, we talk about it all the times. When we lived in Florida, I had this guy, he's my mentor, Amos Fox. He watches my stuff sometimes. He told me this, what I'm telling you now. He's like, you know what? In America, everything is shiny. Just wait. And there are times we couldn't invite somebody in our house because we only had so much money during the week. Because we live in a budget. So I can't invite people at home in my house to eat. Or even if we invite them, guess what? We eat hot dogs. That's what you eat. I'm not going to cook lasagna if I can't afford it. If you are my friend, you're going to accept my hot dog. See a mindset? You live as a free man. I don't have to perform. I have no one to impress, no one to impress. And that's the mentality. I used to deal with that in Haiti, something that we love called breadfruit. Breadfruit, man, it's so good for you. It's good, lamb, breadfruit. But there is a mentality that breadfruit was pig's food. You know, breadfruit is very good for you. But somehow, their mindset was, you don't eat breadfruit because out in the country, there were so many of it. Like on my property in Jacmel, I've got 5 trees of breadfruit. So when it's the season, I've got tons of breadfruit. So my goats are eating breadfruit. My pigs are eating breadfruit. So then people in the city says, well, we're not eating breadfruit. That's pig's food. But it's the cheapest food as well because there's a season where there's a lot of it. Man, nobody would invite me in their house to eat breadfruit. When I'm like, this is what I want to eat. And you go to their house. When you go, you know, they're cooking that goat. You're like, man, where did you find the money to bless me with this goat? Slavery in their mindset. This is just the word of God right here. Don't you love God's word? Oh my goodness. Verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the son of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now, I love this. This is hope. You yourself are to put off all these anger. Oh my goodness. Hot temper. You can't be someone who's just like so quick to get angry. Man, I'm so angry right now. And you start yelling at people. Chill. Drink more Holy Spirit. Drink more Holy Spirit. Anger, you know? You see those people, they so angry, then they break a fight. And before you know it, it's like, man, just chill. Just let the other person be right. Can we? Let them be right. That's the kingdom. Let off anger, wrath, malice, desire to do evil, blasphemy, the act of offense or speaking scandalously about God. Filthy language out of your mouth. If we call ourselves holy people, God's people, our mouth can't be filthy. We can't be every other word an F word. It's impossible. That tells you the source is not right. I love the word. Do not lie to one another. Your mouth should be truthful. When you speak, nobody should have any doubt you lie. If any of us here lies, repent. You need to speak the truth. Because you've put to death your old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man who is renewed I love this. In knowledge. The new man is renewed. How? In knowledge. So therefore, you never stop learning. That's why you go to Bible studies. You go to home group. We learn the word together. Because you're growing together in the word. You're growing in your knowledge. The new man is growing in knowledge according to what? The image of him who created him. He created you. And who created us? King Jesus, God. So we get to partake according to 2 Peter. We partake in God's nature. And I'll tell you, if Christians would really be Christians, Christ-like, we would have a better world. Because we would be Christ-like. We would love like Christ. We would die to ourselves. I mean, you stand for your right. I'm not saying for because you're a Christian, you become a front doormat. That's not what I'm saying. You come and try it on me, and then you see. You stand for your right. You stand for what you believe. But I respect you. I accept you where you're at. I love you unconditionally because that's what God did with me. That's what God did with you. Oh my goodness, verse 12. The character of the new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, I love this. I tell you, I take the word literally and I think about this. Putting on clothes. Putting on a coat, right? It says, put on what? Tender mercies. You put it on. You know, you put it on. Put that jacket on. Put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. You know, I saw someone posted something online because they're bitter. I know that. They said, only God can forgive and forget. Only God. So even for me to say, only God can forgive and forget. Let me remind you all, that's not what I'm saying. Anybody that says that, you're being deceived. Now, yeah, God forget. We don't forget. We do not forget. But when I forgive, I release complete forgiveness. God healed that bitterness. Then it becomes like, you know, that scar you had on your arm. The scar's there. The pain's not there. I touch the scar. There's no pain because it's healed. So yeah, we don't forget, but I tell you, the way God heals, sometimes you even forget. When you try to remember it, you're like, man, you know, you got this cloudy idea of what happened because of the restoration of God and the Holy Spirit that happened in your heart. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christian, as Christ forgive you, so you all must do. You must do. Also must do. But above all else, above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then the last couple of verses, verse 18 says, wife, submit to your own husband as it is fitting to the Lord. Husband loves your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Now, I want to balance this. I said this before. I'm going to repeat it. There are four levels of authority. God's supreme authority. Then you have the word of God. Then you've got your conscience because your conscience is restored. And then you have people. And then among people, you've got husband and wife. I know a lot of time people take this verse saying, hey, you wife, you submit. You shut up, woman, and you listen. That's not what he's saying here. The first verse One of the verses they always forgot to balance. This is where it says, submit to one another. So if your husband is asking you to do something that would violate God's word, with all respect, you say, honey, you know I love you, but I love Jesus more. This is what the Lord says. You can't tell me to be quiet, I can't speak. You can't tell me I can't serve the Lord, honey, I love you. Oh, I love you, honey, but I love Jesus more. So this is not a blind submission. This is not a shut up woman, listen. No, that's not what it says here. And same thing, you husband, you need to submit to your wives and love them. I love that it says do not be bitter. Do you know in a marriage, and this is not something I read in the book because I have been in a marriage for 25 years, so I know what I'm talking about. The first thing that happened in a marriage is for the woman, she'll hang on to love. She'll love. But you know what happened to us? We get bitter. In the marriage. I'm talking to the married people here. We get bitter. I get bitter. There's a time in my marriage, I was so bitter towards Kendra, I had no idea I was bitter. I felt like there's a level of intimacy I couldn't get to because I got offended over something she did and I couldn't let it go. Until one time we went to a seminar and the Lord was just going deeper in my heart. And the Lord says, you know, Ricardo, you're bitter towards Kendra. And I'm like, really? And then I really got serious and sincere. I said, you know what, Lord? I am bitter towards her. Because bitterness will close your heart. You can't love out of bitterness, from bitterness. You have to let go. Then I went to her, I confessed that. I said, you know what? I had no idea I was bitter towards you. I am bitter. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I am bitter. This is what you did. This is what you did. I am bitter. I thought I forgave, but I didn't. I'm bitter. And then we prayed. I asked her to forgive me. And then we're moving on from glory to glory. And you can put this with children, with your children, with your neighbors. Says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bond servants or servants, or I say employees. The whole slavery mindset is against the kingdom. No man should own any man, period. Okay? But it says here, you need to obey your boss, because we all have bosses. You have people you work with. So if you're working for somebody, you don't like them, quietly, gently quit. Go find another job. Don't fight the person. You know, it's just like people come here. I am, after Jesus Christ, I am the pastor here. I am the authority. So if people come here and start doing this with me, guess what? I'm going to be like, well, I can't live. So if you can't submit under my authority, you need to find someone you can submit to. Because then you're making your life miserable and you're making my life miserable. So there's no way. And that's why the Bible says, submit to your authorities. And then it goes to chapter 4, verse 1. It says, masters, bosses, give your employees, your bond servants, what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master. So be fair, that's what it says. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. I like that word, being vigilant. Keep careful watch for possible danger. That's what it means. Being vigilant, keep careful watch for possible danger. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Redeeming time, let your speech always be grace always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You know, and we're going to stop there. Put that list on the screen again. The hindrances of our prayers. Sin. Unforgiveness. Worry. Dishonoring relationships. Lack of faith. And wrong motives. You know, and I'm not saying this is a, maybe I'll continue next week or next time, but this is just on sin, and I could spend another hour exposing what Jesus did on the cross, not exposing sin, but show you what Jesus did on the cross so we could be delivered from sin. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. I invite the worship team to come. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. And we submit to the authority of your word this morning. Yes, we submit. You know, if there is anything in your life that needs prayer, if you need to come to the altar and make things right with the Lord, remember I said the altar is a safe place. I just wanted you to meditate on this, these words, the hindrance of your prayer. You know, God wants us to live a free life. Just want to take a couple minutes and give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Is the Lord speaking to your heart?